Now all is in divine order. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Now all is in divine order. When you say, now all is in divine order, what does it mean to you to say, now all is in divine order? We wait too long most of the time before we say it. By waiting too long before we say all is in divine order, we have let ourselves have more problem to work with. If we could look at our life and look at our world and say to ourselves, all is in divine order, as a habit. I tell Ellen, every time you stub your toe, say,
all is in divine order, or I'm whole and perfect.
Excellent. I'm whole and perfect. I wanted to have a second attitude there. I am whole and perfect. Now, why do you say I'm whole and perfect? Why do you say I'm whole and perfect?
Because it's the truth.
You say I'm whole and perfect because that is your truth. That is your reality. That is what it's all about. When you say, ouch, that's not the truth. That's only a momentary thing. That's not the reality. But I'm whole and perfect. Now, do you think you're going to stub your toe a lot when you say I'm whole and perfect? You probably will stub it the once, you say I'm whole and perfect, and then as long as you're saying I'm whole and perfect and thinking I'm whole and perfect, you'll never stub it again. Why is it you don't stub your toe all the time? Because that's not in your consciousness. Why is it that you don't have a pot full of money all the time? Because that's not in your consciousness. And it's not. It's not in our consciousness to be wealthy. It's not in our consciousness to have a pot full of money. Now, why does Bill Gates have so much money?
Because it's in his consciousness.
What's that?
Because it's in his consciousness.
Because it's in his consciousness. Now, why is it in his consciousness?
Because he's rich.
Bill Gates has a dream, and his dream is to work on his project. And his project is whatever it is. Did he eat hamburgers? Did he eat weenies? Did he eat nothing, so to speak? Did he go through periods of limitation? Did he ever stop dreaming his dream and seeing his goal in his consciousness? That was always there. His ability to do software creations and so forth. That was always in his mind. He never doubted his ability to do that. And of course, because he never doubted his ability and he remained true to it, everything else came into his world to be a blessing to him. He always knew that everything was in divine order. Oh, they said that he was a tough guy to work with, just like they said about
Steve Jobs,
you know. And why did they say that he was a tough guy to work with? Because he was himself. He had his imagination. He had his creativity. He had his thought of his dream, of what he wanted for his life and what he wanted for his world. And he stayed with that. He didn't wander away from that dream and say, well, I think I'll be a pianist. I think I'll go out and be a mountain climber. I think I'll go out and do this and do that. He did those things. But those weren't things that he was going to do. He just did them. What he was doing mostly was dreaming up ideas for his software, dreaming up ideas for his creation. Why is it that he did not get into creating computers? Why is it he didn't get into building machines? Why is it he didn't get into all that stuff? Because they're a distraction. What would you say is a memorable thing about Bill Gates in your mind right now? Just say it quickly.
Windows. Windows.
He's the richest man in the world.
Windows.
He's a rich, yeah, you, because you're in software, you're into computer wear. But the thing, he's the richest man in the world. Now, that's what the world thinks of him, and the world knows of him. Now, he did create his software, and his software were Windows, and they were a world ahead, a lifetime, a centuries ahead of any other type of activity on the computer business, making a computer really available to everybody. He did what Steve Jobs wanted to do. He made the computer available to everybody with the Windows. But Steve had to do it his way, and he also became a very wealthy man. Not as wealthy as Bill Gates, but that wasn't the name of the game for him. Now, what's the name of the game for you? All is in divine order now. What do you want to be in divine order? We were talking about the the three young tenors, the three young singers. They were tenors, were they? And the boys were singers. And Ellen was saying, oh, it's so wonderful. They learned all these languages, and they speak all these languages so beautifully. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And I didn't want to discourage her, but I let her go on. And then I thought to myself, why did Bill Gates become such a success? Because he was one-pointed. Why did these three young singers become so successful? They sang songs in English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, everything under the sun. And as they sang these songs in these languages, they learned the languages, because the languages are learned most easily when you sing them. Any person teaching language will tell you, if he can get you to sing the language, you will learn it easily, because you're not objecting to anything. You're just taking the music, taking the words, and then understanding later what the words mean. But in the beginning, oh, sol mio, what does it mean? I haven't the slightest idea. It means, oh, the son of me, or something like that. But you see, when you sing these songs, and then later you learn what it means, first you sing the song. First you have no objection to it. You have no objection to these words. You have no objection to these things. Bill Gates had no objection to learning software. He had no objection to trial and error. He had no objection to finding something in his heart and mind and soul and bringing it out. He found his modus operandi for bringing it out. These singers find it in their heart. Why do you think all of these opera singers singing all these operas, having a great repertoire of German, French, Italian, Eskimo, you know, any language under the sun, why do you think they can do that? Because they're learning the music. They're learning the song. They're learning the words that go in that song. And that's what is them. And they're unlimited. Now, the way is open before them. Now, you and I can do the same thing. And the sooner we do the same thing, the happier we'll be. If we were to teach our children in school, instead of teaching them language courses, teaching them to sing the songs, to sing the language, to sing those things. And you can even sing the word, the verb conjugations and all those other different things, you know, and it's fun. It's a joy. And this is why these three young men who are learning all these languages and are speaking them so beautifully, they speak them beautifully because they articulate them in their song. They articulate them in their music, and so naturally they're going to articulate them in their... Now, Ellen once told me that the most wonderful person in the world is a man or woman who travels the world, and in every single country where they go, they speak the native tongue dialectically correct. You don't even know that they're from another country, because you think they speak it so correct. Now, how do they speak it so correctly? They articulate it. They articulate it, and they speak the words beautifully and harmoniously. They do not fight the words because they're unfamiliar to them, because they're strange to them. They speak them like a song. And because they speak them like a song, it's like a melody going on in their heart. And what are the most beautiful words of love? They're usually in song. What are the most beautiful words of great philosophy? They're usually in song. Poetry. Ha! It's in what? Song. If we would learn to let music direct us and open us to all of the treasures that life has to offer, we would find it so easy to accept them. I am independently wealthy. Ha, 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 you know. That's what we say to ourselves. But sing it. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. What am I going to do with my independent wealth? I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to travel the world. With my independent wealth, I'm going to... blah, blah, blah. And so what are you going to do? Well, write music for that. Write music for... I'm healthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body. Hey, you're working perfect. Hey, you're working perfect. Hey, you know, and sing it. Learn songs about it. There are songs about the body, about the nice qualities of the body, the wholeness of the body, the beauty of the body. We should learn it. But we don't do it. We would rather learn, ouch. We would rather learn, oh, I don't feel good. We would rather learn, let me tell you my problem. And of course, when we tell people our problems, we are telling it to ourselves again. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to tell people our problem, we want to tell it as graphically and beautifully and dynamically as we can so we can get it across. Oh, I've got this and that. Oh, man, you know, you should see what I got. I'm a happy person. I'm unconditionally loving. I love my body. I love my world. I love everything. Well, what do we do about that? What do we do about that? Are you going to put music in your heart? Music in your soul? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. You're singing for yourself, not for somebody else. And if somebody else listens to it and finds it pleasing, great. But do you listen to it and find it pleasing? That's what matters. That's what matters. Have you heard of the Jew's harp? You know, it's a non-musical musical instrument. Anybody can do it. You flick it with your tongue and you make the music, the tones come out. And some people like it. It's all they can do. They don't learn how to play the clarinet or saxophone or violin or what have you. And what is the laziest type of music you could ever imagine? A stringed instrument, the banjo, the guitar. Why are these musical instruments not considered the classical musical instruments? It's because everybody can play them. And everybody can enjoy them. And they sound good with anybody playing them. You can hold your fingers on one key and then strum and strum and strum and do all sorts of things and then go to another key and then another. And in one song, you have four keys that you change your fingers to. And you learn that. It doesn't take much of a genius to learn that. And that's why the country music is played that way so much. And that's why people who have nothing else to do play like that. It's not bad. I don't mean to mean it and put it down. All I'm saying is that to play music really doesn't take skill. Can you tell me with a surety that Mozart knew how to play the violin when he was 3 years old? His father thought he did when he heard the violin being played. Amazing, huh? We have within us all the genius we want. All is in divine order now. And when we claim all is in divine order now, everything in life is ours. And now, for the fun of it, let's put it to music. Mm-hmm. Each one of us in our own wonderful way. I do. You do.
Yes.
We do. What do you think a dog is doing when he's singing? What do you think a cat's doing? Meow. meow, purr, you know, in their throat. They're singing. Everyone loves to sing. So let's join them today. I love you. I love you. I love you.